John Curley, Sherry Elliker Show. Thank you, everybody. Teeny tiny lady's working hard. She's giving me a big thumbs up. I bought her a new dress while I was in New York. She looks fabulous, Teeny. She's very excited. She's going to get that letter of the day. She'll have that for us in just a little bit. Sherry, couldn't find anything for you. Just something for Teeny. Mm. Diving in the news! All right. Of course, the big story. You probably had heard about it. So the leaked memo that went out. And Justice Roberts, I think, said, you know, he was going to rule in favor of the Mississippi ban, but then was not going to overturn Roe v. Wade. But that's now just coming out. But we've heard from the other justices that's going to be ruling on it. They're going to be they still have a few more arguments to go on this. But, of course, the leaked memo, the update on this, Sherry and I found out that whoever leaked it, that's not against the law. It's certainly destroys the precedent of the Supreme Court and how it works and the privacy of the Supreme Court. And their FBI is trying to find out who it is that leaked that out to Politico that broke the big news, the tsunami of news today regarding Roe v. Wade being turned back to the states. So the question is how much of an issue this will be when it comes to the election coming up. And of course, we have the governor talking about it. They're going to use this as an opportunity to really drive people to the polls because they know they're going to just get killed. And it's important to sort of rile up as many people as possible. So Jay Inslee, he had said this earlier, this he was on the Seattle's Morning
News.
We're going
to have to become a bastion of liberty for Americans now. Washington will stand up for this right of choice. We will continue our commitment to this principled stand of a person's right of privacy against the power of the government. And so we will succeed here in the state of Washington. That is until, and here's the big threat, mm-hmm. we know there will be a national effort by Republicans in the U.S. Congress to essentially outlaw women's right of choice nationwide. And that's the next shoe you can look forward to attempting to drop. And so that's why everybody needs to vote this year to vote for people who are not going to allow that to happen in the U.S. Congress.
Okay, yeah. Mark Milosevic talked about it. He is the former state senator, executive director of the Family Policy Institute. He was talking his response to the leak.
Well, we all were very hopeful after the Supreme Court hearings that the Supreme Court would vote in our way and finally maybe overturn Roe v. Wade and Casey. But this kind of leak, you know, while, you know, is kind of disgraceful, what was happened by some staff or some judge, but we're actually now very joyful that it seems like finally we'll go back to the way our Constitution was originally written and interpreted back in our founding, and that abortion is no longer a right, and we will start protecting all babies in our country.
So it's not a protected right as carved out by the 14th Amendment of due process. It's not a right. You don't have a right to it. But going back to the states, you and I disagree. You would like to be able to keep it safe and legal. It will still stay safe and legal in the biggest, I think, the big states. They'll also work out additional restrictions, 15 weeks, 10 weeks, and each one of them will have an opportunity to sort of be able to still have abortions be available, but there'll be some will have tighter restrictions. Others might try to outlaw it entirely. I can't imagine that would be the case. I know that there are some states that are pushing towards that, but I don't know if they would necessarily have the support. Governors in these states could veto these. That would seem to be the extremes. Have you seen any research as to what states would just outlaw it entirely?
Yeah, there's 13 states that do. It's called the trigger law, and that means that once it goes, you know, the Supreme Court rules on it, then these 13 states will outlaw it entirely. I can find out what they are. That's the trouble. And I believe there's like 23 states that will have more restrictive abortion laws as a result of it. So it affects roughly half the country, and that's huge.
Yeah, I heard this. I was watching it, something this morning when this broke, and I pulled this up on my phone. This is William F. Buckley was talking to Naomi Wolf, who was an early feminist. She sort of has moved in kind of a libertarian position at this point. But this is from Jacob Moore.
1996.
Mm-hmm. Listen, I've heard this, and I thought, I want to hear your thoughts on this. Here is Ms. Wolf on with William F. Buckley, and they're talking about
abortion. Let me begin by asking Ms. Wolf whether the attitude of the pro-choice people she criticizes isn't, in fact, to be expected, even as views of other activity, once thought aberrant, becomes accepted, as, for instance, divorce, homosexuality, pornography.
Well, let me first respond by recontextualizing what I said in the essay and then
sure.
answer your question. Because I didn't say simply that abortion, which I passionately believe to should remain a woman's legal right, is evil. That's, I think, a little reductive. What I said was that it is a necessary evil in many cases, and it's always a matter of deep moral gravity, a transgression. And what I argue, and this is a somewhat more subtle point than one can usually easily get across in these soundbite, what is too often soundbite debates, is that I believe that the pro-choice movement would thrive by reclaiming a moral framework around abortion that recognizes that there is a spectrum of culpability, of accountability, that is not...
Here, listen to this point. This is interesting.
...not uniform. But that recognizes that absolutely, following up to your second question, that the fetus should not be denigrated to the status of a dependent mass of protoplasm, that we should not have to, we must not dehumanize the fetus in order to humanize a woman's right to reproductive access.
Yeah, I use the word, evil use the word moral iniquity.
Moral iniquity.
That's less.
What I'm trying to make a case for is that, like most Americans, it seems that most Americans believe that abortion should be a legal right, but need to be free to recognize it or claim it as a moral iniquity, and that we suffer as a society by devaluing the act, by emptying it of moral content in order to defend abortion rights, and that it's a much more, I think, evolved and accountable state collectively for us to defend abortion rights to a basic point, but recognize that we must mourn the circumstances that give rise to this loss of life and never trivialize it, just like when we send sometimes this need for war, and no one should trivialize the act of waging war. No one should treat our sons and daughters as cannon fodder. Mm-hmm. We would rightly feel revolted by a politician who used such language. By the same token, we who are pro-choice must stop trivializing the loss involved in making a decision.
But my question is,
isn't that interesting? So she's saying don't reduce the fetus. Understand the moral weight of what's happening, and then also realize it unfortunately has to happen, right? Keep this balance between the two. Had you ever heard somebody express that sort of idea before?
Well, usually you don't. Usually what you hear is either that life begins at conception, and that's one thing, or you hear then that's ignored entirely, and you hear somebody say, I think at all costs, a woman should have a right to be able to do with her body and with her reproductive health what she chooses. So it's a very difficult thing, because that is an argument. If someone believes fundamentally that life begins at conception, then you're never going to be able to convince someone that that's not the case. You're never going to say this is a collection of cells and it's meaningless and all of that. That's their belief system. And I think by the same token, you're also not going to convince someone who is very strident about their opinion about a woman being able to choose what she wants to do in terms of not carrying a pregnancy to term, not going through that or not being able to because of her situation. So if you listen further into the interview, which I did, she brought up another point, which I think is really interesting. She talked about a case where there was an abortion clinic
on one end of the hall, and then
there was an adoption clinic or adoption services on the other end of the hall.
Right.
And that they couldn't get funding because the pro-life people would not give money to the adoption part because they were upset about the abortion clinic and vice versa. And I think that if we could come to some kind of meeting in the middle here where women just had options, right? And isn't that what it's all about? I don't think anybody is like, I want people to have abortions. That's insane. That nobody wants that. But people want to have these options. And if we could find a way to just calm down the rage about it on both sides and say, you know, how do we make things more available for everybody? Whatever you choose to do, it's your life, it's your body. You should be able to choose whatever you want to do, whether it be adopt or abort or, you know, I think she's a very thoughtful, interesting. She makes some really interesting points about us not really understanding or listening to each other or accepting each other's positions.
Yeah, I'm so glad you got a chance to hear the whole thing, because I thought that was really fascinating that in that same building, you actually did have choices. So, and one of the physicians said, I want the woman coming to me to be able to have a choice. And if it is adoption, there should be services, or foster care, there should be services, or somebody allowing the woman to carry the baby to full term. Fund that so she actually has choices. So if it's an individual that is, you know, economically disadvantaged and they're just thinking, well, I would keep the kid, but I mean, I just can't imagine how I would. Where's the support? All the sort of work that needs to be done so that the woman feels that she actually has a choice. And there's an interesting thing. They said that clinic ended up just doing nothing because nobody would support it, because on the one side, on the other side. So, yeah, where is the real choice in here? So, good. I'm glad you got a chance to listen to that. And William F. Buckley ended up coughing through much of the interview.
Is Johnny Depp doing his William F. Buckley impersonation? Because they sound sort of similar now.
This weird, William F. Buckley with that voice, a classic. This is an interesting piece. I'm going to skip over Rance's thing, but looking at in some states, 6-year-old children can be arrested, and advocates would like to change that. What states can you arrest them? Where is it? Oh, here is the juvenile offenders. Is this it right here?
No, at the very bottom. But scroll down.
25 states have no minimum age for prosecuting kids. In the state of Washington, the age is 8. But 25 states, like this is a case in Florida, a 6-year-old girl was arrested.
I've got it. It's an NPR person, so they might be speaking very slowly.
It's been a trying time over the last 2.5 years for youngster Kaya Roll. Her grandmother and guardian told NPR the child still goes to therapy and is treated for PTSD. That's because when Kaya was 6 years old, she was arrested at school. She was accused of kicking and punching staff members while throwing a tantrum. The video of her crying and pleading with a police officer not to handcuff her sparked widespread outrage. A school resource officer used zip ties for the handcuffs. During an interview with WMFE in Orlando, Kaya's grandmother, Marilyn Kirkland, was incredulous.
A 6-year-old throwing a tantrum is a 6-year-old. Whether somebody accidentally gets hit or not, it's a tantrum. There should not be any law in the book that allows a child to be arrested for being a child.
It should be the rarest of circumstances that would occur, almost never.
Mo Kennedy, a former police officer, is executive director of the National Association of School Resource Officers. The group's training teaches police officers about de-escalation, adolescent brain development, and working with students with special needs.
And so when, you know, I see the image of a 5 or 6-year-old child handcuffed and law enforcement is involved, whether it's an SRO or not, yeah, that does make me cringe.
Authorities dropped the battery charge the first grader faced. The police officer was fired. At the time, Florida had no minimum age for arrest. That changed last year. Lawmakers passed the Kaya Roll Act. It bans the arrest of anyone under the age of 7.
Okay. All the sixth graders get a chance, or 6-year-olds get a chance to skate on this. I remember
they're
watching
all high-fiving
that video.
Each other.
Yeah, except for that one kid that graduated from college when he's 6. Yeah, I remember watching that video. It was disturbing. They charged the girl, little girl with battery. I guess the cop later on was saying, you know, this is the rules. If you're going to arrest somebody, you put handcuffs on them for their own safety and your safety. But again, it's a 6-year-old. And more states will start to look towards, I guess, changing it as they have in Florida now. It's 7 and above.
7. Well, in the international standard is 13, or 14, rather. And Colorado is the only state right now that wants to raise that to 13 years old from the age of 10.
Hmm. Wowza. All righty. I know there's stories to get to, but that's all right. We covered that one.
Are you thinking out loud?
Yeah. I had another story I want to slide in there, but no. Okay. Chris Martin, I can feel him breathing down my neck.
Okay. Oh, that's his beard hairs falling on you.
All right, you guys have had your fun. Now it's time for traffic.
All right, hey, write us a letter. We do want to hear from you, and I got a funky little tune that I think you might enjoy, and it goes something like this, Andrew.
Sing us a letter. It's that time of day where we read out your letters.
Yep.
Where you tell us, hey.
Hey.
You love us or hate us or somewhere in between. Like
yeah.
Sherry is funny.
Or Josh is funny. Okay. All right. All right. All right.
It's John Curley, the radio host.
Write it in a letter and be the letter of the day.
Mom, that's change right. the station.
No, hold on, little girl. You write to us at mynorthwest.com. You come into the State Roofing text line at 1-888-973-5476.
We get anybody right, yelling teeny. Around here anymore today, and then the is going to hit the fan.
Wow.
Yay! Excellent.
Thank you, Andrew. Well done.
My pleasure.
It was requested, actually, by a listener, so there you go. Thank you. You added lots of extra things in there. Makes it really good. Okay, so what you need to do, I recommend, if I were a school teacher, I would say, we all are going to read George Orwell's 1984 again. Oh, come on, do we? No, it's really relevant. Very important. You have to have a couple of things you need to look at. Don't forget, you kept the people in George Orwell's book. You always had the sense there's always this war going on, this war. We always have to, we're in a war state. It's a state of crisis. And you have the big brother. Someone has to look out for us. Someone has to take care of us because at any minute, the war, there's this always this war, us against them. And that's under sort of the narrative in which, the people are all operating there in this world, this dystopian world of George Orwell's 1984. You had the Ministry of Information. You had the Department of Love, not War. They reversed words in order to be able to get people to think differently. It's a brilliant book, and we're living it right now because we have now decided that the Homeland Security has decided to set up a group, and what's their official term? They are the Office of Disinformation Information?
Yes, it's the new Disinformation Governance Board.
Aha. Uh-huh. To protect us against information that might not be true. And we're not sure what the board does. I don't know how they're funded. They haven't quite told us, are they going to spy on us? Are they going to read social media posts? Are they going to block stuff? Are they going to call Facebook, YouTube, Google and start to say, hey, take this down or take that down? And when Jen Psaki was asked about it, oh no, it's nonpartisan. It's absolutely it's apolitical and nonpartisan. And this is the woman they put in charge. Her name is Nina Jankowicz.
Information laundering is really quite ferocious.
By the way, you her, she's constantly singing. She sang in high school. I watched some stuff in her in college, and she writes really fun lyrics, and she's singing from Supercalifragilistic. She rewrote the words.
She sits when a huckster takes some lies and makes them sound precocious by saying them in Congress or a mainstream outlet, so disinformation's origins are slightly less atrocious. It's how you hide a little, hide a little lie. It's how you hide a little...
So this is the woman who's in charge.
She is in charge. Yes. She is in charge, and it's hard to know really what her job is. Anything you see about her, it's always about the singing. I just found another video of her singing a Christmas song.
Yes.
She is not British, but she is singing with a British accent on this one.
That's right.
So I guess what they're trying to do is they're trying to crack down on coronavirus or, you know, COVID misinformation, you know, things that I guess could affect Homeland Security, maybe about threats. It's a bit of a mystery.
Yes, and I love it because they said, well, they asked, oh, no, it's about Russian interference and it would be Russia trying to come in and do something. So the government is setting up this sort of department that's going to stop information that they decide is misinformation. So it would go and because, like, for instance, there's no way the virus was made in Wuhan at a lab that was doing virus work like that, and of course that information was blocked and stopped, but then eventually they started to realize, you know what, maybe it did come from Wuhan lab, so then that information was then let out. This is the government controlling. The greatest thing about this whole thing is the Republicans, when they take over the House, this thing will go away. They will not fund it, they'll not have it, there'll be no need for this. But it's very interesting because the folks on the left, once they've lost Twitter, they realize we have to put some other sort of stop guard in place. We need something else in place, so let's put her in there.
Rudy Giuliani shared that intel from Ukraine. Or when TikTok influencers say COVID can cause pain. They're laundering disinfo when we really should take note and not support their lies with our wallet, voice, or vote. So
what is a lie and what isn't a lie, right? I mean, she believed that the laptop of Hunter was from Russia disinformation. She was on the other side, sort of the losing side of a lot of the facts that came out. I don't like when the government starts to decide what's misinformation, what's information, what they're going to let you read and not read. That's a scary time you get into that. We're very close to what they do in communist China.
Well, Mayorkas, who is the head of the Department of Homeland Security, said that this is more of a working group, an internal working group. He said the board does not have any operational authority or capability. Mm-hmm. He said what it will do is gather together best practices in addressing the threat of disinformation from foreign state adversaries, from the cartels, and disseminate those best practices to the operators that have been executing and addressing this threat for years.
I see. What? Okay.
Well, that makes sense clear as mud.
I have no idea what that means, right?
Right.
One more attempt to control the narrative, to control the message so that we all know what is right and what is wrong. The Ministry of Truth, the Department of Love, this read Orwell and you'll just sit there and think, but this is exactly what's happening. The idea that we're, at any minute we're going to be attacked by a bunch of white supremacists. It was Mayorkas that said that this is the greatest threat to the United States is domestic violence. White supremacists, domestic violence, these the terrorists that are going to come after us. These are the people who are going to be, that we'd be most concerned about. And they're out there and they're going to do whatever they can to protect us from this. This is Mayorkas, and, that this is the greatest threat to the country is this group, the boogeyman that is out there. This is also Mayorkas is the one that accused the man that was trying to control the horse with the long reins. Mm-hmm. And this was Joe Biden, who also said that that agent will pay for that. This is before the investigation. Then the investigation finally came out and they found out that was not the case. They never apologized. This Mayorkas has absolutely no respect at the border. They dislike him. A bunch of Republicans have asked for him to just resign, step down. And the one guy said, sir, you will be impeached. Why don't you save the American people a lot of trouble and just find it in your heart to step away and realize that you have been a failure and you are now no longer respected by any member of this committee and the people that are serving under you. Did you see that guy's speech?
Like I didn't see his speech, no. Yeah.
Yeah. The guy with the accent. You need to find it in your heart, good sir, to realize that you have made a grave mistake, and now it is important for you to step away, find the honor in yourself, sir. It's like, God, that's like Al Pacino will come out and start screaming at somebody at some point.
Josh Hawley said, rather than police our border, Homeland Security has decided to make policing American speech its top priority.
Right. And don't forget, if you're an American parent, you too are domestic terrorists. So watch out. The government's here to help you every step of the way. And she has got more songs. Do you like her Christmas songs that she does? Or did you mostly like the tumbly-dumbly-dumbly-dumbly-dive?
Information laundering is really quite ferocious. It's when a huckster takes some lies and makes them sound precocious.
There you go.
Well, I do love Mary Poppins, but I didn't like the Christmas song as well. So I thought this one was very creative, and I did like the British accent. It was a nice touch.
Thank you, Sherry, for that. You give it a five. It's a little hard to dance to. Yes.
Why would anybody that's in a position that's serious like that think that it's okay to make up a song? Nobody wants to hear that. I mean, I know she wants to be on Broadway or whatever her dash dreams are, but come on.
Okay. Remember this one right here?
Ever since I was a baby, I have had one dream in mind. And each Christmas, I think maybe it will finally...
Okay, I'm done. Okay.
The best rule of thumb is don't do it.
Yeah, that is a good rule of thumb. Thank you for that. Thank you. Where's that mailman song? Have a little mailman song. Come on in here, mailman. There he is. Look at him. All of the letters.
I'm the mailman. As you can see, I'm the mailman. Don't nobody mess with me.
Don't mess with
me. I'm the mailman. If you didn't know, I'm the mailman.
By the way, if you are going to and dressed as a clown and visiting an old folks' home, some advice.
Do not enter a room with a closed door.
Okay. Thank you for that, Andrew. All right, we'll get to the letter of the day. But first, let's take care of all the rest. Oh, my gosh, look at these letters. Whoa, you guys. You got that on yourself.
Okay. SCOTUS opinion. Dennis in Seattle said, all right, John's in today. No, Mrs. Sherry, their career's not over. It's just the beginning.
Oh, boy. 253. The same people that say the Constitution is a living, breathing document that is not set in stone are the same people saying that you can't overturn Roe versus Wade because it's been around for 50 years. These people make no sense.
Eric in Columbia City said, John and Sherry, best theory I've heard about the SC leaker. A clerk for a conservative justice saw them wavering and wanted to make it uncomfortable for the justice to vote pro Roe v. Wade.
206 says, so men and women can be pregnant, according to the left, but abortion rights is only for women. Please explain that.
Area code 540 says, did I just hear the king himself say he supports the government staying out of people's private lives, the same governor still holding his emergency powers?
Wow. And Zach from Facebook on Facebook says, just putting this out there, I'm a pro-life personally, but it's just as hypocritical for conservatives to be against vaccine mandates and support abortion bans as they are as saying liberals are for doing the opposite. Both sides are idiotic and lose credibility when they talk about these issues. I agree. The court's opinion simply based on the 10th Amendment. And as everybody knows, we talked about the 10th. Those are federal laws. That's the state laws. That's a clear distinction between what the federal government can do and the states can do in the 10th Amendment. Okay, there we go.
Okay, area code 352. I want in on the Supreme Court bet. $5. It was a leak resulting. Of a Russian computer hacking the court servers, just to interfere.
Okay, put that down. 352's in the big.
He's in the pool. Okay.
Got it. Okay, silence in the meeting, 360. So I just laughed and made me laugh out loud. Does it matter if the nails hit the possible future boss while you're clipping away? That wasn't what that story was, not about clipping your toenails. But that's where everybody went on that.
Yeah, that's what they remember. Unicycle Mike says, does Sherry not realize John collected all his toenail clippings in a jar, posted it on the Buy Nothing page, and he gave the jar of nail clippings with his nail clippers in it to some random person? Did you do that? Gross.
Yes. Brian in 206 says, hey, John, thanks for the reminder. I just clipped my toenails in my work vehicle, and now I have toenails all over the inside of the service truck.
Gross. John Summer Party. Joey the Garbage Man says, whoa there, Jacob. I didn't even touch that chicken. I did drink all the beer.
Yes, you did. Oh, here he comes now. Hang on, one little bit of advice.
The best rule of thumb is don't do it.
There you go. How's that? Words to live by. All right, teeny tiny. Letter of the day. Teeny? Teeny?
I'm waiting for her.
Teeny, please. Don't say
See?
That about Sherry.
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
Finally. Okay. Rolling Rock Socks says this.
Yes.
While negotiating, have you ever finished clipping your fingernails and started on your toes? Gross. This question is for John. Sherry, don't try this method. No one wants canoe-sized clippings flying around the room. What the takeaways are from this show?
I know it's so wrong. It's about something else, people. Focus.
That's all
Focus.
She wrote.
That's all she wrote.
Didn't write no more.
Didn't
Come
write
on
no
now.
More.
So we'll try better
she
tomorrow.
The gloom hanging round.
Let's do another hour that'll sound like the first hour. How about that?
Good idea. Okay.